October 23rd, 2025, and you're listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Today we're in Romans chapter 12, looking at verses 14 through 21, with part two of yesterday's message titled, Love Your Enemies.
Tomorrow when you go out, turn your faces to those who don't believe, and when you are treated terribly, maybe it's even your neighbor next door, remember that they're lost. Remember that they are indeed under the judgment of God without Christ, and that they will go to an eternal place called hell without grace. And remember your witness. Remember what this is all about. You are the fragrance of Christ to those who are being saved and to those who are perishing.
And now, here's Pastor Chris.
I did to him was put him to death, that God worked our own salvation out. If they persecuted me, said Jesus, here I keep going, John 15, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will also keep yours. But all these things they will do to you on account of my name. What is the real cause? And then we can tie this together with the Beatitudes. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. It's built in. You are his righteous people. That's what earns it. Your character, your convictions, what he has built into you as his people, what marks you and defines you as righteous in the way that we live. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice! I mean, it's really shocking, isn't it? Rejoice and be not just a little glad, exceedingly glad. Leave singing. Remember when the apostles were beaten for the name of Jesus? Do you remember what happened in Acts? They went out rejoicing that they were called worthy to suffer for the name. Rejoice, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. And Jesus explains here why people get legitimately receive hatred from the world. It is for righteousness' sake. If you think about what had our own Lord persecuted, it was that he spoke truth. The Pharisees hated him because there was something about him. It wasn't arrogance. It was, if you think about him, when people came into contact with our Lord, he stripped everyone else of their righteousness. They were uncomfortable around him. He made them nervous. He was light. They were darkness. He was pure. They were unrighteous. He was full of righteousness and joy and peace. And the love that he had for people and the mercy and compassion that he showed to people while exposing darkness made them hate him for such things. What do people do with somebody like that? Well, I think we saw last time in Matthew, the first thing they do is try to destroy credibility before they kill you. Everything they do to marginalize and find fault with Jesus. I saw our whole study in Matthew. Every bit along the way, they tried to find fault with him. And notice the calling in the midst of this. The shocking call. Bless them. Bless them. That is the most difficult thing. I'm not grandstanding up here. I don't think I've ever done it very well. But it is the call. Bless them. Take an active role in blessing these people. You can't be serious. The murderous wicked. Imagine every time we were offended, if we blessed people and didn't, as we instead do, fly off in rage and determine to hate them and tear them down, but bless them. We avoid this at all costs. That's what's going on in Christianity in America right now. A blatant call across this land, maybe you're not aware of it, to hate our enemies. And they justify it from the Psalms. And they take the Psalms and they say, see, God hates his enemies, so should you. And we stop and we think, well, wait a minute. Those judicial Psalms that the Lord gave were indeed speaking of his justice. And we cry out for justice. But we forget the day we are in. That day is coming. Today is a day of, across the scriptures in the new covenant, mercy, long suffering. The benefits that have accrued from the cross have exhibited to the world the patience of God in doing what? I'll come back to it. It's the surprising verse. In verse 15, how do we love and bless our enemies? Here's the surprising verse I think we miss out of context. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be conceited. We never really take this, I think, in the proper section it's commanded. We think it's just with our brethren. Almost every time I hear it quoted, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep, we think it's just here. And I've got news for you. It is here, but that's not where he's put it. If you look carefully at this section and how it's bracketed, here's what makes this powerful. Verse 14 is a bracket that's telling us to bless those who persecute us. And verse 17 at the end of this is telling us that this is about enemies. And Paul just said something very powerful about how to love your enemies. Rejoice with them and weep with them. That's a shocking engagement, isn't it? Step into their lives. Enter into what they're facing. When they have joyful moments in their lives that you can rejoice with them. When they have awful hard providences in their life, your enemy, that they suffer, join in and weep with them. Well, there's a test of Christianity. This was the mind of Christ. He was heavily hated for dining with everyone the Pharisees thought were the enemies of Israel. He sits with the drunkards. He sits with the tax collectors and the sinners. This is a powerful call from our Lord. We should never take the attitude, he's saying, of how dare these awful people do this to me. I'm done with them. And that's not even on the inside, which never should be. That's on the outside. And so he says, verse 18, repay no one evil for evil. 17, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Where does all of this come from? Paul took it right out of the Sermon on the Mount. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. He knew what the Pharisees were doing to the Psalms. I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. Pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. And here's where they never read the scriptures. For he makes, this is right out of the Psalms, makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good and sends rain on the just and the unjust. All these wicked out here have sunshine today. All these wicked out here have rain when they need it. They have food, Paul said to the pagans, to fill their hearts with gladness. Paul said that about the pagans. And he says, what do you think your heavenly Father? What's his action toward the wicked right now? They're living, aren't they? They're living. That's an amazing connection. Jesus knew the Jewish thought. To the Jew, the neighbor was only the Jew. But to the Gentiles, those on the outside, they were the enemies of the faith, so you could hate them. And Jesus says, I tell you, love them. Bless them. Do good to them. Pray for them who spitefully use you and persecute you. Why? Because God sends down his Son on them. He's showering that kind of kindness on people. Now, you preach these kind of things and you get this charge. You get this charge. Are you a pacifist? No, I'm not a pacifist. In the way that's usually defined. I think you can defend yourself. That's not what I'm saying. These things are always used to disregard the plain teaching of this today. Paul is saying in Romans 12 very clearly, under the inspiration of the Spirit, love your enemies. That's what Jesus taught us, and that's what the whole Bible taught us. This is not foreign to Deuteronomy. Why do we love? Well, because we've been loved. Number one, there's a bigger picture, because being a Christian means that the life I live is no longer about me. I've died. My life is hidden with Christ in God. It's no longer about rights. I love because the love of Christ compels me and it controls me. And because of this, I have a whole different perspective on the unbeliever. I have a whole different perspective on the wicked in this present age. He's lost. He's lost. And having spiritual eyes, what we should see in our neighbor who is persecuting us and doing evil to us is the reason they're acting for that. The reason they are acting that way. And what might God do? It's amazing when Stephen was stoned, they all laid their cloaks at the feet of a young man named who? Saul. He was the greatest enemy of the early church. Now, what did God do? He who is in the heavens shall laugh. How did God laugh? He made him the apostle to the Gentiles, and that's why you're here. What an amazing act to redeem that persecutor and through him to bring the gospel to us. We have to see the problem for what it is. They are without hope and without God in the world. They're fighting for their heaven on earth now. You are a pilgrim. You don't belong here. You've got something better. This is the whole message and testimony of Scripture. It demonstrates the kindness of the Lord our God. Now, what did Jesus say? Let your light so shine before men that they would see your good works and turn to your Father who is in heaven. Isn't that the goal? 1 Thessalonians 5, see that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good both for yourselves and for all. 1 Peter 3, 9, do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless. There it is again, there it is again. For to this you were called that you may obtain blessing. It's such a consistent teaching across the New Testament that it's hard to understand why Christians could make a case ever that we should be out actively going, and I use the language that's being used right now, going to war with our enemies. Well, in what way? Telling them the truth is going to war, but hating them and wanting to crush our enemies is not the way of Christ yet. This is what's coming in the final judgment. And this is the beauty of what's being we're being called to here in the gospel. If your enemy's hungry, here's what you do. Feed him. Make him a dinner. I challenged this last time, right? I said, maybe you have somebody here who you're not getting along with. And I said, you should invite them over to dinner, not just this week. And maybe that'll happen. How about inviting your enemy over to dinner? How about feeding them? How about giving them something to drink? For in so doing, you heap burning coals on his head. That motivates the final call here. As much as depends on you in this life, as much as depends on you in this life, maintain peace with all. Imagine how different the response might be of our enemies if we actually practice this. Right? Imagine how different the response of enemies might be. I think this is so important. In the Beatitudes, Calvin has a fine little book on the Beatitudes, and he speaks of those who reject the Beatitudes, the characteristics of the Beatitudes, and live in this kind of hateful, spiteful way, calling themselves Christians, who are always bitter and always angry. And you know what he says? Something very interesting in those Beatitudes. He says, there is a present judgment on these people. You think, well, what's the judgment? He said, those who live this way, plowing forward, who are bold and aggressive, who claw and cut everyone else down, listen to this, are the most alone. They have enemies everywhere, and they have no peace. They are, as Calvin says, without peace of mind and are beset on all sides with anxiety. In possessing much, they finally possess nothing, since they're incapable of enjoying what they think they have. So do you get the point here? The other route, which is the natural propensity, which is to hate our enemies and fight our enemies and destroy our enemies and crush our enemies, has the judgment of being alone, enemies all around you, enemies always coming at you, and you're beset with anxiety. So again, I think, what might loving our enemies actually bring? Well, you might bring a lot of them into the kingdom. And isn't that the goal? Beloved, never avenge yourselves. And this is the good point here. We're not against justice. Oh, no, we're not against justice. Psalms celebrate God's justice. We pray those psalms. We sing the imprecatory psalms with understanding that God will rise up and judge one day. And he does today. Sometimes in history, but he certainly will on the last day. And so the great call that he concludes with is, vengeance is mine. Whose? God's. It's mine. It's not yours. It's mine, says the Lord. I will repay, says the Lord. So I don't want you, notice the following verse, being overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. Vengeance will come. And I think if you study the Old Testament, even the great kings learned this. Remember Nabal? We'll close with this. That scoundrel of a man, Abigail and Nabal, he was a ruthless fellow, and he dishonors David and his mighty men, and he won't feed them, and he speaks ruthlessly to them, and he was a total enemy, and David grabs his sword. David says, that's it. There will not be one man left in that house by nightfall. And Abigail comes out and says, wait. She pacifies him. Puts down the sword. Who took him out? The Lord. David did not have the right to take out Saul. Read it how many times his great enemy Saul, he cut off a corner of his little garment and could have. The Lord took him out when that sword, he fell on his sword. Sure, kings were called at God's command to execute justice, at his command, not without his command. This is a very important passage tonight. The Lord has freed us from bondage to the behavior of the world that live in this kind of misery, this kind of anger, this kind of hate. That's what characterizes a lost world. And I am concerned that if Christians lose their minds on this and forget their calling, they will bring the very persecution they're trying to avoid. So turn your face to the very image of God sitting next to you. Jesus loved them enough to die for them. Love them. Love them. How could we not love our brethren? And then tonight, tomorrow, when you go out, turn your faces to those who don't believe. And when you are treated terribly, maybe it's even your neighbor next door, remember that they're lost. Remember that they are indeed under the judgment of God without Christ, and that they will go to an eternal place called hell without grace. And remember your witness. Remember what this is all about. You are the fragrance of Christ to those who are being saved and to those who are perishing. May Christ fill us with his powerful grace by the Spirit to love the way that he has taught us to love, and then the judgment will come. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for helping us and instructing us in righteousness. We confess we cannot do these commands without the work of your Spirit. But what a softening effect they have upon the hard hearts that we have. Thank you for the grace that you've given to us in salvation. And then this truth rings out tonight. While we were enemies, Christ died for us. While we were enemies, he showed his love for us in this, that we were redeemed by his blood. Well, if we've been taught that, help us, O Lord, to demonstrate the same. And your righteous judgment, may it come. Your kingdom, may it come. We pray, O Lord, until that kingdom comes in all of its fullness, that we would remember our mission. For you have so taught us to love as we have been loved. Help us then to love one another and to love even our enemies. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. This program is produced from Pastor Chris's weekly sermons. We've been featuring his morning sermons in Romans, but since we've caught up with his current pace, we need to pause this series for a little while. So, for the time being, we're going to switch and pick up the series where we last left off back in June, taken from his evening services on the book of Matthew. We hope to see you again tomorrow, here on Abounding Grace Radio.